Hi, and welcome to Blank Bodies, a Vampire the Masquerade V5 tabletop and horror podcast. I'm your host, Hunter, and we've got a really special episode today. I have two guests with us today. I have Sam and Mike. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Sam. I'm Sam Young. I am the proprietor, head vampire of None More Dark Publishing, a little storyteller's vault outfit. Some of you may have heard of, possibly.
We'll be very flattered if you have heard of us. I'm Mike Messiah. I'm one of the writers and occasional director of the same None More Dark, also known as Patreon Master Mike, because I edit our Patreon as well.
Mike is the money guy.
Look, those new books don't buy themselves, okay?
They don't. A lot of financial fraud to do, and I'm not the man to do it.
The internet makes it so easy.
Yeah, so I know you guys do a lot of writing for Chronicles of Darkness. We haven't covered that a lot on the show, but we can kind of ease our way into it with this interview, I think, would be a good way to start. What originally got me in contact was a friend mentioning some of the new Changeling stuff you've been working on.
Oh, yeah. Well, for most of None More Dark's existence, I guess, we've been primarily vampire, but one of us, it's me, is an enormous Changeling fan. Changeling the Lost from the first new WOD edition and in the second edition of Chronicles. And we wanted to see if there was an audience for that, too. And we're very happy to say it. Turns out there is.
the long story short backstory of None More Dark is that I'm sure people know that the current license holder has not really been approving new Chronicles of Darkness material, and sort of out of bloody-minded stubbornness, I refused to let them ghost the game. So I was like, I know Requiem, I'll do a book. And now we've done like 10. So yeah. we've worked with Rose Bailey, who used to develop Vampire the Requiem officially. And so we're the guys now, such as it is.
Unofficial official.
Yes, the shadow developers, as I like to call it. Sorry,
I've always wanted to play Changeling. It's the game that I've looked for the most and not been able to find a group for. I've somehow played Wraith, Old World Wraith, and still not gotten Changeling to run. Okay. I don't know how that works, but
Changeling. I've been playing the various iterations of the world of Chronicles of Darkness since I was about 15, and that's over 20 years now. And Changeling the Lost is my favorite system. You can do so much with it, because the inclusion of the hedge as a kind of liminal space that's like people's dreams and fairy tales and urban legends and odd stories lets you explore so much. Almost anything can be a Changeling story. I've done Changeling games where it's in the Dark Ages and we're like the patrons of a medieval village that have to deal with its problems, and also humans starting to not believe in us and turning to this terrible thing called Christianity. And I've also been in a game where we're 1950s detective agency, and we do as many cases on just like cheating husbands and money laundering as like fairy stole my gold or child. It's such a versatile system.
To tie it slightly into Old World of Darkness, I always kind of thought it was interesting how Changeling the Lost was much more in some ways a kind of an inspired by Dark Ages fae than Changeling the Dreaming. I mean, obviously there's shared DNA there, but Changeling Dark Ages fae was kind of really where it begins for Lost.
Yeah, lots of concepts.
We recently dipped our toes into a little bit of some of the Dark Ages. We just finished our Salubri month, and so that's pretty much all Dark Ages history. But I started flipping through some of the Dark Ages fae books, and they were really interesting. So
yeah, if you're gonna play some Old World Changeling, start there. I know the Dreaming has a lot of diehard fans, and I don't mean to throw shade at them at all, but the Dreaming had a lot of problems, and it's also just kind of depressing to play. But Dark Ages fae is, that game makes you feel like you're otherworldly. That's when they took the concept of the seasonal courts and the duality of it, of hopping back and forth between the fae realm and like the human realm, and trying to balance that. A lot of that just went straight into Changeling the Lost, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah, for our listeners who don't know too much about Changeling.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's just the elevator pitch.
Yeah, if you'd like to give one, just feel free.
Oh man, okay, cut me off. I go too long. I will literally talk about this all day. So
you have 100 words. Go.
No, you know how I hate word counts. All right. So Changeling the Lost is the concept is that you were kidnapped by fairies, and not nice fairies. The true fae are awful, horrible monsters that live in a realm that makes them little gods, and they took you because they needed a servant, a footstool, a new sword, something. And you spent months, years, decades, centuries serving as a slave, a tool, an object, or worse. But you managed to crawl your way back, and the fey realm has stuck to you on that journey. You are not human anymore, but you haven't forgotten your old life, except that in most cases, the old life has forgotten you. When they take people, the fey replace them with fetches, identical copies that live out your life in a way that maybe you didn't want. So when you finally get back, when you finally crawl your way bleeding through the thorns, there's another you living your life, and your family has no idea that anything even happened to you. And that's where you start. And you have to hope you find more people like you to get by, because you still need to live somehow.
Interesting. So I know in dreaming, it's more you're kind of born with like half a human or a full human soul and a whole fae soul. This is more you've been almost like warped into more of a fae creature.
Yeah.
Through this kidnapping.
It's a little more true to like older legends of you know, fairy creatures and changelings and things.
Yeah, the changeling myth from like folklore is that occasionally fae would swap babies with humans, and they'd take the child of the humans to raise in like the fairy realms, and then they'd give the humans, because fair exchange, they'd give them a baby of their own to raise, and this would always cause shenanigans and heartbreak because neither kid really fit in where they were dropped.
I like that. So with the things you've been writing, what are some of the newer books you put out for Changeling?
Mike, what do you want to talk a little bit about kind of the genesis of this book and sort of what the point why we did it and
why
it
we out? Did this thing? Yeah. Okay, so
this is the first. Yeah, this is the only book we've done for Changeling.
Yeah, this is the only Changeling book we've done, and yes, but so far is key because the response on this one has been so positive that we're pretty much have to do another one now. So as we've mentioned, we're primarily writing books for Vampire the Requiem, for Chronicles of Darkness. And we wanted to see, but Changeling, like Requiem, has had the same like publishing limbo happen to it, right? They're squatting on the license and they won't do anything with it. So once again, and yeah, sheer bloody minded stubbornness is correct. We're just like, well, fine, if you're not going to do it, we're going to.
Yeah, Thanos, I'll do it myself.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Infinity Gauntlet, let's go. And we looked at what had been published for Changeling, and that we had, at the time that we started production, there had been 3 books. There had been The Core, Kith and Kin, and Oak, Ash and Thorn, which were, Kith and Kin was kind of like a bit of a player's guide.
Sort of a player's guide. Yeah,
a bit of an expansion. It gave you a lot of different player options. And Oak, Ash and Thorn was kind of a more of a setting thing, but it also introduced some concepts that they didn't really get to flesh out. They did new entitlements, and which are like the Zed splat for changelings, but it was a very short book. It was like 60 pages, something like that.
Oh yeah, it's not very long.
Yeah, it was tiny, and so we wanted to take what they had started, expand it out, provide a whole bunch more options. And also kind of inspired by the clan books that had been published recently and that we'd updated for Chronicles. Yeah. We wanted to do a dive into the equivalent for Changeling, which are the Seemings. Changeling's a special snowflake in that they break the usual 5 and 5 rule for Chronicles, and they have 6 different ones. And we wanted to explore them in a similar way to the vampire clans, like what makes them tick, what do they do when behind closed doors, what makes it different to be an ogre versus a ferris versus a darkling versus a wizened versus a beast versus an elemental. Did I miss one, Sam?
Oh god. Quiz me.
Yeah, make sure you're awake.
You get all of them. I think you did. Did you get Darkling? I think you got them.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Got all 6.
I was going to say, the reason that we did these clan books for Requiem which individually for each one. And we threw around the idea of doing like at least shorter books for each of the seemings. But the kind of where we ended up was that there's not quite as much depth there. They're really cool. They're really cool concepts for the game, but they don't quite have the lore that the vampire clans do. Like I know that Chronicles of Darkness gets accused a lot of not having any lore, which is just wrong. But even, you know, Vampire in particular has a lot of backstory stuff that you can throw into the game if you want. Changeling, not so much. Changeling seemings are more like archetypes, much even more than the clans, like archetypes. Mm-hmm. So we decided, long story short, that it would work better if we just made one big book about them all, rather than try to like figure out, really struggle to fill word count for six books. That was the other thing. There's six of them. Just didn't want to do that.
It's a lot of books on at what the time was an unproven concept. We didn't know if like we would sell a Changeling book when we had been only doing Vampire, and certainly sell enough to make it worthwhile to make more. And so I think we've done a good job of adding on to that lore now, because we've done our best to open up the depth for the seemings. My goal with that book was, once you were done with it, if I was talking to you about ogres or fairest, you would have the same immediate rush of themes, aesthetic, and concept that if I say Ventru or Toreador.
Yeah. One of the things we've kind of strived to do with these books, just in general, is take some of the older concepts that were in the first edition and sort of give them a spit shine. Because I think as much as I really love a lot of the old books, they were really trying to figure out what these games were at first, and they hadn't quite figured it out yet. So there are certain concepts that are just, they're cool, but they're kind of half-baked, or they're overly, you know, they're really dull with a lot of backstory or whatever. And we wanted to take some of those things, polish them up, put them in the second edition, at, like, really fully formed, and having had, you know, the benefit of hindsight. So a lot of the material in this book is sort of carried over from the first edition. There's a lot of original stuff too, but sort of the biggest section of the book are two chapters where we just took all these, like, I don't want to get too into the terminology because then it gets boring, but like taking a bunch of like character options from the old game and making them new again, which was Mike got, because he was in charge, got to choose all of his favorites. Can we admit our error? Can we talk about mistake?
our dumb mistake. Yeah, go for it.
It was funny. So again, not to go too deep into the mechanics of all this, but you know, each changeling has something called a kith, which is very different for you changeling the Dreaming fans than what a kith is in Changeling the Dreaming. But a kith is like a little extra thing. It's a little definition to what your seeming is. It's like, you know, if you're an elemental, you're a fire elemental. Or if you're a darkling, you're like a you're a night singer or whatever. Which in the new edition of the game, they're all kind of, they can apply to any seeming. In the original version of the game, they were more specific. And for some reason, we decided, no, we'll make more specific ones again. The long story short is, Mike and one of the other writers make a big list to make sure that we were not doubling down on any of the ones that had already been done in the new edition of the game.
I need to break in here and say there's so many.
There are so many kits.
And
they made a giant list. They went systematically through one of the books to make sure, okay, that one hasn't been done. That one hasn't been done. Oh, that one's been done. And we missed one that was in the core rulebook. And we had to very last minute change its name.
I still can't believe we both missed it.
It was beautiful. Three of us missed it.
Yeah, you're right. You missed it too. Thank you for taking responsibility.
Yes, I will take it.
Man.
We actually missed two technically, but one of them we were able to justify a lot more.
Yeah, and we got
the other one.
We straight up
just completely missed it.
Yeah. But we did. Thank God we caught it before we published, so we could do a quick name change and a little concept shuffle. And the new name is cool.
Yep, new name is cool.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what it is. I want to see if anybody can spot it.
I may have revealed it on a thread somewhere, but people can probably figure it out. It is the only one that doesn't carry over from the old.
All right, fair enough. It is pretty unique.
Yeah, so that's really fun. So it sounds like you're presenting a lot of new character creation ideas, especially.
Yeah.
So really expanding what you can do in building your changeling.
Yeah, Changeling is a very customizable game to begin with. Before Deviant came out, I would call it the most customizable of the Chronicles or Ward games. You can make almost anything between court, kith, seeming, and now entitlements.
Well, it's one of those games where if you have a fairy tale and you want to do that in the World of Darkness slash Chronicles of Darkness, you can just do it. There's so many options. And we've given you more options on top of all the other options for this game. And what we really want to do is kind of provide people with more thematic options for each seeming. Because a lot of the things that you can use in the game are more generic. Like, not generic is kind of the wrong word, but you can use it for any kind of character. So we wanted to really emphasize the themes of each seeming with a specific thing that only they could take, or at least by default, only they could take.
Nice. So it's more what's a good way to put it? I like games that give you more specific jumping off points when you're making a character too, because even in Vampire, it can be difficult when you're like, all right, I'm gonna make a Brouhaha. Well, that could be a
That is a million
lot of
different things.
things. So being able to find especially for a first character, sometimes you don't have an idea, you can find things that give you more specific in your character creation. Go, okay, that's what I want to do, and really pinpoint in and have a stronger base for a character.
I mean, I like having lots of options, but I also like having a constraint, like that kind of helps me. That ropes me in a bit, helps me think about, how to work within that constraint. So that's kind of what we wanted to do.
Yeah, Sam has the thing he likes to say about the writing, which is like a plot hook every paragraph. And for some of the longer stuff I did, I was thinking of it. I twisted it to I want a character pitch every paragraph. If you're reading any chunk of any of these seeming write-ups or any of the mechanics, I want at least once a paragraph to have somebody to be like, oh, I could play that. Like that's a concept.
There's an old White Wolf lore, so I've been told. There's something
Ooh.
called the Chup test, which was, I believe, Sam Chup, who was a writer for Vampire and a bunch of other things. He said, if you're reading a splat, reading clan or a mage tradition or whatever, you should immediately, upon reading it, say, I want to play that right now. And if you don't say that, then the write-up is not working and they need to rework it.
I like that. That's a good
It
rule of thumb.
it's great. Yeah, it's a good acid test for a lot of things in role-playing games. If you're reading a thing and it's like, well, this isn't inspiring me to do anything, you're probably not, it's probably not the best material.
I like that. I'll have to keep that in mind.
The Chup test, yes.
So this book is out now. You can
Yes.
go check it
Yes.
out. Do you have any ideas of what might be next for Changeling? Or are you going back to Vampire or
Well, we're definitely going to do some Vampire in the nearer future, but
Yes.
we kind of know that we need to do more Changeling, especially now that it's funny enough, coincidentally, exactly a month after we released our book, the last, as far as anyone knows, official book came out for it, which is also great, the Hedge book. But we know that things are, just there's not going to be any more official stuff, and we're kind of the only people set up to do it right now. I'm sure there's other people out there who want to do community content stuff for it, but we're sort of, we operate under the, we pretend we're doing the official things. Like, that's how we judge the quality of our books. And that's the standard we try to keep to, whether people agree with that or not. So everyone's a critic. But we try to, hold ourselves to a higher standard. So to not ramble too much, yes, we are going to do another Changeling book. I think I have teased this elsewhere. I know I've said Book of Courts is sort of where we're mind is thinking. That's the political apparatus of Changeling. But we're not probably going to get started on that for a little while yet.
Yeah, that's future times because we've got a couple of vampire books coming down the pipeline, one after the other.
Speaking of which, I know you mentioned you want to talk about some of the vampire things you've worked on as well.
So the stuff we've done mostly is we did five clan books for each of the Requiem clans. We've done a bunch of Bloodlines books because Bloodlines are kind of easy to do and they sell pretty well. There is a certain financial incentive on that. Our biggest vampire book was a second edition of Requiem for Rome, which was sort of a seminal book for the original edition. It was sort of where they rebooted the game and sort of the setting, and that did really well. We actually had one of the original writers on board who contributed some material to that. So yeah, that's sort of the long and short of what we've done for Vampyre in the past, and now we're moving on to doing. It's funny that we're doing the Covenants for the Vampyre setting, which, like the Seemings, is the political apparatus of the Kindred. So we're getting political here over here at Nutmore Dark, and we're also doing a revision of one of the books that we originally did, which is sort of so. Sorry, I'm tending to ramble here, but basically one of the first books we did was like kind of a patch job. It was sort of like, here, this is how you play. Take this old Bloodline for first edition, add these systems, Bob's your uncle. And it was, you know, it did really well. People really liked it, but I was never satisfied that there wasn't any lore or, you know, setting material or very little setting material in this book. So we're basically taking the opportunity with the benefit of like 4 years of hindsight, which my bones just turned to dust.
we're to old, do the, Sam.
To, yeah.
We're
to so redo old. This, to redo this book kind of as it deserves, give it all the lore, give it, you know, proper artwork and so on and so forth. So that's Bloodlines, the Devoted Revised. And that's, we just started working on that. And we're working on, we're going in alphabetical order. We're doing the Kurthian Covenant book. Which are like the sort of the, see my comparison, I don't want to compare them to the Anarchs.
No, don't
that's
do
actually
it.
One of my big goals, yeah. Is that
they're not
like the Anarchs.
They're not.
They're like rules lawyers for the dead. they are the revolutionary, like vampires should follow the rule of law rather than, you know, weird feudal hierarchies. That's the long and short of it. So that's the next book probably that will come out, yeah. Unless disaster strikes.
If I can try and translate this for, like, say, our Masquerade listeners, sure. Who have never maybe touched Requiem before, the Carthian movement is like if you took old Bruja ideals and then had, like, the new Bruja in charge of how to apply those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of high-minded goals for how vampires should act and tend to express themselves through hurled Molotovs and sledgehammers.
But their superpower is bureaucracy.
Yeah, but their superpower is bureaucracy. And you might think those two things don't go together, and we're here to tell you that they do.
We are here to tell you that you were wrong about the Carthians, yeah. But you'll find that out in a few months.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking. I know you sent me a ton of books.
Yes, I wasn't expecting you to read everything, but, you know, I appreciated you having us on, so I thought, you know, get a little sampling of our work.
I did try and flip through all of them. I did not have time to like dig deep into any particular ones, but I will say, like, a lot of the art, the presentation really stood out for me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Even as someone who primarily plays Masquerade, I feel like there's a lot of stuff in there. If you're just looking for inspiration and want to shake things up, I've got my shelf's about half and half, and I've only ever ran the Masquerade, but the other books are great just to grab stuff from.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're a Masquerade fan, I think you can find a lot of utility in our books. Obviously the systems aren't, you know, quite compatible, but there's a lot of cool concepts that you can mine and put into your games. So I really think, you know, if you're interested in just cool books that have lots of cool vampires in them, you know, check us out. There's stuff for everyone in there, whether old or new fans.
Yeah, 100%. The clan books that we did in particular, like Nosferatu, Ventru, and Gangrel, are almost identical in terms of theme and mood and power set between the two games, and you can get a lot of inspiration from the stuff we've done. And then, like, there's DNA of both the Bruja and the Toreador in clan book Deva, and Maquette takes stuff from their ministry now, as well as
Asimites or the Ban,
yeah, the Ban Hakim, and
kind of La Sombra too.
Yeah, a little bit of La Sombra,
a little bit of everybody.
Valkavian, yeah, they've got a little bit of everything in them. If you like sneaky vampires that pull that pull the strings behind the scenes without ever getting their hands dirty, Maquette are all about that.
If I remember my Chronicles lore properly, they also kind of snuck the Malkavians into the Nosferatu clan as well.
No,
wasn't
Ventru.
That a bloodline? Was it Ventru?
They snuck into Ventru, yeah. In if I can go on a little Malkav rant here, sure. Or a little tangent.
That sounds appropriate.
Yes, actually. When we got the new edition of World of Darkness, so New WoD as it was known at the time, and we got like from 13 main clans down to 5. Obviously, there were some cuts. The Malkavians didn't make it, which is tragedy because they're amazing. And at first, all we got was a single bloodline called the Malkovians, which were like a patch job, more or less. Like at the time, the Ventru's new clan weakness was that they went crazy over the course of their humanity degrading. So it made sense to kind of attach the equivalent of them of the Malkovians or Malkavians to them. Then a couple years later, in the original Ventru clan book, they introduced the concept of Malkavia's disease. As they called it, the M, and it's something that vampires can catch. Like, you can catch the crazy, and it gives you some weird powers, but it also destroys your mind and your ability to like interface with reality. And they made the Ventru particularly prone to it. And we took that concept and updated it in our Ventru clan books. There's a whole like Malkavia section in our Ventru clan book. And because why should reality warpers ever be constrained to one option? We present a number of different ways for it, depending on how you want the Malkavians in your game.
We kind of, one of our goals with all kind of differentiating Malkavians from in Requiem from Masquerade was sort of playing up more the Cassandra kind of niche, like the, you know, the prophets who are never believed, less about mental illness. And we were also interested in doing something very different with their signature power. So our version of dementation, such as it is like very, very, very different from Masquerade or even the first version in Requiem. Because we kind of were like, well, you could do a lot of this stuff with Auspex in Requiem. Like, this is Nightmare. And we didn't want to just repeat ourselves and do something like that you could accomplish in, you know, a couple of paragraphs. So we did something very, like, I think really cool and much weirder. But I'll let people check out the book for that, learn how that works.
If you were to recommend one of your books to check out for a Masquerade player, it would be the clan books, it sounds like.
I would say if you're really interested in kind of just getting some cool ideas, our Bloodlines books are good for that too. If you're into like historical settings or just ancient Rome, I would say our Requiem for Rome book is really great for that. There's just like historical settings in that you could really easily plug into Masquerade. So yeah, I mean, anything, I think all of them would be useful to a Masquerade player. You know, if you're just interested in a slightly different worldview. That's the long and short of it.
Cool. You mentioned you have some new stuff in the works for a vampire. Hints you want to get into on that?
We talked a little about them both. I will say that this, I apologize if people have no idea what I'm talking about. But basically, like, we're going to do the Carthian book.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've done a lot of reading of the old material for this particular covenant. They're this very political group. They're sort of stereotyped as like anarchists and brick throwers and things. And I kind of want to move away from that, because it's not quite true. It's true on a surface level, but I really want to go into why these guys. Here's how it is. Carthians get kind of pasted with a sort of mushy progressivism, that they're kind of the good guys of the Chronicles of Darkness in terms of vampire. And
They're not evil.
I was talking to Rose Bailey, who's the old Requiem. I think I'm allowed to say this. Developer about this book, because I was sort of having some trouble conceptualizing it, and she said, you know, it's like that meme, like Carthians build the Torment Nexus. They're going to experiment and they're going to do terrible things to humans, because there's a difference between vampire communists who think, you know, humans are the means of production or they're the proletariat, and the Carthians think they're the means of production. So I want to kind of like go into the horror aspects of this particular group. So that's very exciting. I'm really excited to get this book out into the world.
Yeah.
And Mike did some great work on it too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. The Carthians are not your friend.
Yeah, no,
they are not the default good guys of the vampire setting. the Carthians are the kind of people that will come up with like humans as livestock in a blood farm to see what can like the most efficient like blood per unit that they can suck out of you will be.
As I said, their superpower is bureaucracy. So
yeah,
with vampires, that's not going to be good.
They want to revolutionize vampiric society. Humans are food.
Yeah.
So they are the good guys. Two other vampires.
Some sorts.
I mean,
yeah, if you're under a Carthian regime, you might have some differences of opinions about that, yeah, about whether they're good or not. But we wanted to do something because I think one criticism I have of kind of the anarchs in Masquerade is that there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with them. They kind of end up always being kind of the martyrs of the setting. Like they don't accomplish as much as they kind of say they do. And I wanted to do a book about political vampires that go out there and really get shit done in the worst ways possible. I'm sorry, I swear. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
Oh, yeah, we do it all the time.
Fuck yeah. All right.
That's
so, yeah, I wanted to contrast that a bit because they get painted. The Anarchs are a very different concept than what the Carthians are, despite admittedly the books don't know that sometimes. So yeah,
there's definitely some shared DNA. Like you can definitely see where like the inspiration was taken from the Anarchs, but yeah, the Carthians.
Well, I can give some deep lore actually. When they were first developing Vampire the Requiem, they were going to have Carthians and Anarchs. So there's your little deep lore for the day.
Yeah, we have, thanks to Rose, we have some
Rose has been able to give me some ideas of like where some of the ideas came from. It's been very, very useful.
Yeah, it's been like talking to like the wise old elder on the hill, honestly.
Yes.
I like that because it's also something I kind of like about V5 they've done is with the Sabbat as any sort of organized group has fallen and the Camarilla is kind of shutting the doors and all the old people are fucking off to the Middle East. Yep. So the Anarchs actually have able to establish.
They actually matter, yeah.
But they're also pretty much everyone who's not the Camarilla, including people who still agree with the Sabbat, but realize that didn't work. Let's move 5 feet over here. And
the medieval death cult didn't work out for us. Shit. Oh, no. Oh. Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have saw that coming?
Look, there was a red star. The world didn't end. What are you going to do?
But yeah, I like that. So I feel like if you're running an Anarch game, the Carthians might even be a good inspiration for that because I think they have kind of expanded past just like the ugly middle child of vampire society.
Noah, definitely. If you're an Anarch fan, and when this book comes out, I think you will find a lot of ways to expand if you want to, how they work and kind of going beyond just sort of the surface level read of them, which definitely works a lot better in V5 than it did in the classic stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, if anyone's ever read anything about politics online, one of the first things you'll notice is even people who on paper should agree tend to get into a lot of arguments. So having inspiration for more anarch type opinions that you could throw into your city would be great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, people, they progressives love to they. Progressives hate the right, but they hate each other a lot more.
Yeah, no one's a bigger critic of the left than the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when the conservatives are actual feudalists, everybody is left wing.
We did a little Anarch series, and one of the questions we got that we ended up doing a whole episode is just like, how do you run the Anarchs? And that's a really tough question because there's not one answer. You can't just be like, oh well, it's this exact system. It's like, well, here's 30 you could choose from. And I'm sure everyone in your city believes one of these things.
Yeah. And we've done, there's similar for Carthians as well. Cause like the Carthians always have grand visions and enormous ideas about what they'll do once they are in charge. And if you have a city where all the Carthians agree to one thing, oh God, are you lucky?
Yes, you sure are.
Yeah. So we present some options in the book. We have like, we've got examples of like, here are some ways that the Carthians might decide to run things when they're finally in charge and what the other covenants might think of that and react to it in response.
I like that. But are you really lucky, or does that mean that they've come up with something absolutely horrid to try and pull off?
I mean, six of one, half a dozen.
Yeah.
Of the other,
yeah.
Right?
A column A, a little bit of column B. Might be okay.
Someone will be okay.
Yeah, someone will be okay. Yeah. But now.
So with the recent seeming stepping into Changeling, and you've been doing Requiem for a while, have you thought about touching on any of the other Chronicle of Darkness lines? Or
we've
definitely thought about it.
Yeah, we thought really hard about it. but no, yeah, we would like to. It's kind of a matter, like, we're a real like Mickey Mouse operation, so it's always a matter of time and money.
Yeah.
So there's only so much we can do at once, but we love all of those games, and we would love to do more for them. Now that they're kind of in torpor, we would love to do something for Werewolf, because I love the new Werewolf. I'd love to do stuff for the new Demon, because I love the new, I love them all. But I know a lot of former Onyx Path developers are starting to work on their own things, so you know, there's stuff to watch out for. I think there's still stuff to look forward to. But we're gonna keep plugging away at Vampyre. We're gonna do more Changeling, and we'll dip our toes into the other worlds. I would love to do like just a Mortals book. I think that's kind of one thing I think Chronicles does really well is the human level. You can play a Chronicles of Darkness game where you're just a human, and that can just be just as fulfilling as playing a vampire or a werewolf or whatever.
I always find that when you're playing just Mortals and Chronicles, you get the horror experience a lot more authentically, because it's, you know, it's harder to be scared at the table when you are a monster with superpowers, even though the horrible stuff's going on. But when you're not, and your character doesn't know, like, say, the contents of the Requiem book or whatever, and it's a lot easier to get into the mood of like, oh God, the shadows are horrible and want to eat me.
That was one of my favorite things about Chronicles when it first came out, was, you know, there's a core book, and it's not a vampire core book or anything. It's the World of Darkness core book, and you make a human, and that's all that was really in the core book.
That's all you got. Yeah.
Me, Sarah, and Skipper, before we started this, we'd play vampire and other stuff, but actually ran a hunter game, Hunter the Vigil, that went for about 7 years. It was
nice
because they mostly knew Old World, so I had all these Chronicle books. Great. No idea what's going on. I can just
that's a really fun thing too about Hunter the Vigil, is that even within Hunter the Vigil, the vampires you might encounter might not be the kindred. They might be something very different or weirder or more feral. So that's half the fun of playing Hunter the Vigil, is just playing with expectations, especially for the super fans.
Yeah, like it's there's a certain perverse satisfaction I get as an ST playing, like running Vigil, that if I introduce what seems to be like a vampire or a werewolf, and all of my friends have been playing these games for years, like, oh, and they'll try to, like, oh, that's like a Deva, and he's probably a part of the Circle of the Crone, this thing's face peels open and he bites off somebody's head. I'm like, no, it's not. And then, like, watching their faces is always a treat.
Yeah,
that was my trick, because I kind of wanted to play Changeling, but I couldn't really get people on board, so I said, all right, we'll play Hunter the Vigil, and then I just made them deal with the Changeling.
Ooh, that's good. So, that
was fun. I just all those
don't deal with the Changelings, that's a bad idea.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll make any deals.
No, do.
I took all those ideas for that campaign, because you would have loved to get to know these people, now you won't.
Now you won't. Yeah.
Well,
no, there's a lot of fun stuff you can do with it.
Yeah, but I hope you get someone to play like Changeling with you. It's so great.
I'm sure I will eventually. I'm trying to knock through them all so I can say that I've played all of them. I think the hardest is still going to be Mummy. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
Yeah, and Mummy is a game that like really got a real glow up in its second edition. It's still really esoteric and weird. I love it, but it's like, that's a hard pitch.
I'm also in a weird spot in my head with it, where I've read the standalone Mummy book and the vampire Mummy book from Old World and the Chronicles one, but I've never played them, so they're all kind of this one mash of something in my head. And so anything I try and say from it, I'm sure is wrong, and a combination of at least two books.
Yeah, but Mummy got, like, it's always been a concept that they never quite knew what to do with. I think the latest iteration is probably the coolest. I mean, I really like it, but yeah, they've always kind of never quite knew what to do with the concept, because mummies are weird. Like, as a horror thing, they're kind of weird. So
Yeah, I do like in Chronicles, they kind of went away from just Egyptian mummies. And
yes.
They brought in a lot of different other cultures, and that was really neat. That was one thing that really I do remember standing out when reading through it.
But yeah, there's cool stuff. And there's the cool thing about the newest version of Mummy is, like, you can have a game where you wake up in 2010 and then you go to sleep again and you wake up in the 1600s. Like, they do this time as a flat circle thing. And it's so cool. It's so high concept. Like, I truly don't, it's a hard one to do, but it's a really cool concept.
It's kind of like playing Wraith, where it's like, all right, you're playing this character, but you're also playing that guy's character, but the dark
yes,
version of
exactly.
him. And
yeah.
you'd ask a little bit more of your players mm-hmm. to hop into.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more player buy-in.
Yeah, neither Wraith nor Mummy is something I would try and start people on.
Yeah.
No, that's expert level, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're getting to about that time. Before we wrap
sure.
up, is there anything else you want to cover, or
I think we've got, you know, the most relevant stuff. Like, you can check us out on the Storyteller's Vault. I think everything we've done is under None More Dark Publishing. We have a Patreon. Check out our Patreon.
Yeah, if you want to become a member, we do previews of our books.
Yeah.
We do little like polls and communications. We're eventually going to be working on higher tiers with bigger rewards as we like formalize it a bit more. We do make money on these books, but 100% of that money is generally funneled right into the next
yeah.
one. So if you like what we do and you want to see more of it, throw us a few bills and
yeah,
that'll be
yeah.
and that will enable us to keep making content for you.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very much a passion project. And you know, one day we aspire to profitability, but today we're just
yeah.
happy to be able to afford to make, you know, the next book. So
that's awesome. I can go ahead and put those links down in the description. So if you're listening, they should be in whatever app you're looking at. Yeah, definitely. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. It's been
oh,
a pleasure
so
talking.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes us feel legitimate, which is cool.
Yes.
And we're actually getting ready to touch on our werewolf next month. So for our listeners,
ooh.
We got a whole month of W5 coming up, which will be fun. And we also have our own Patreon. We do a monthly Patreon episode. We do polls where you can vote on the content of the show. We do quarterly clan deep dives that our listeners vote on. And then we also let the patrons vote on what we do for our patron bonus episodes. So this month, I believe the week after this comes out, they're getting a special episode about Hammer Horror and some
nice.
Of the inspirations into World of Darkness from that. So that'll be a
oh,
fun
nice.
One. Yeah. So that's all down there. And just want to thank Paralyze for our theme song. And you know the rest. Have a good one.